Joe is the Kane County State's Attorney, and he joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Joe. It's John Williams. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
You saw that piece earlier today, did you?
I did, yes.
What was your first reaction to that when you were reading that?
Well, I think it reflects, one of the issues that was important to this case. It's not the main issue, but it is an issue, and I thought it was an issue that I had to touch on. It was an honest comment. It has to be part of the conversation if we're going to use this as an opportunity to move forward. And you know, it's unfortunate, but I felt like it had to be said.
You gave the opening remarks and then some closing remarks as well. You must have thought a lot about that, a black boy walking down the street and having the audacity to ignore the police. I mean, literally, did you know that we were all going to talk about that? We would hear it. And how long and hard did you work on that sentence? Did you debate not even saying that?
I did not debate not saying it. One of the things that really struck me about this case was a father and a son who testified, Jose and Xavier Torres. One of the things that Mr. Torres said to me when we met with him in preparation was that if that happened to his son, he hoped and prayed that someone would speak up and tell the truth about what happened. And that struck me, and it stuck with me as well. And it was his comments before the trial, and then just some of the things that I was thinking about in preparation that I felt like I needed to touch on that issue.
So you're sitting there writing your notes, saying, "Okay, here I go. This is the line. I'm going to use it, huh?"
I did, yeah.
Would we have a conviction? I wonder if we would have even had a trial were it not for the video.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to, speculate about things like that, but certainly that video played a central role in this case. It provided some independent, not the only piece of independent evidence, because the Mr. Torres and his son, certainly concerned citizens with, no connection to anybody, just came forward to tell the truth. But that video, absolutely a key piece of this case.
Well, particularly since without the video, you might have the Torreses, but you also have a bunch of police officers saying that Laquan McDonald lunged at Jason Van Dyke, swinging the knife at him, and the video belies that. But here again, it would have been a they said, and I think a lot of us know how those kind of cases usually go.
That's been the history, and that's been the history of cases like that across this country, both recently and over many years in the past. So it would have been a completely different case without the video. Would there have been a prosecution? I don't know. It may have been a case that nobody really knew about. It was just, another police shooting, which would have been unfortunate and would have been wrong. So I'm grateful that the video was there, and I'm grateful that the Torreses came forward and spoke up.
I wondered if first degree was a bridge too far, that it'd be easy for the jury to say no to that. Why didn't you go for second degree instead of first, the sentence that they actually came back with?
Well, we charged first degree in the aggravated battery counts because that's what we believed the evidence supported, and we felt we could prove first degree. And in Illinois, in order to get to second degree in this scenario, we had to prove first degree beyond a reasonable doubt. We did that, and then the jury worked through that process and then began consideration of the mitigating factor for second degree. They found that, and I respect that. I can see how they, went through that process, and in the end, they figured it out and they got it right. And I'm proud of the outcome. I think it's the right outcome.
What were you thinking as the trial was going on about whether or not they would put him on the stand?
Well, we prepared from the beginning as if he would testify, never really knowing, what his decision would be. As we got through the trial, there were some things that, we felt we were able to bring out some inconsistencies about the video and some inconsistencies between his partner, Mr. Walsh, and the video and their own animation. And then the fact that, they were claiming that this was a self-defense case. I'm not surprised that he took the witness stand, so we were ready for that. But I think those were some of the factors that led him to make the decision to testify on his own behalf.
I don't know if you heard some of the chatter, but the smart people on TV were saying that at least one of the witnesses you called sort of backfired in that they rather supported Officer Van Dyke's decision. Any regrets about the witnesses that you called?
No, not at all. And one of the benefits of knowing all the evidence that we're going to present in our case is how each piece fits together. And I suppose in isolation, calling the defendant's partner, may appear on its face as something that other lawyers wouldn't do. But we knew, given the animation that they put together, we knew, given the number of times that we watched the central video in this case, and based on how he testified in other proceedings under oath, we knew he was going to try to help the defendant, but we also felt we'd be able to control it and show the inconsistencies between his testimony and what really happened as well.
I was a little surprised at the defense video animation. It reflected what we saw in the actual video, of course. I thought they might be able to nuance it in a way that would be more sympathetic to their side, and with the exception that they put that famous hood on Laquan McDonald, I don't think it helped them at all. What were your thoughts about that video animation?
Our thoughts were that it was very inaccurate, and that was the focus of our team's attack on that video, of how inaccurate, how incomplete, how it misrepresented the actual event.
Right, five shots and so forth. But it's their video, so naturally they're going to present something that reflects their case, not yours, right?
Sure, right. So our focus was let's highlight its inaccuracies, and I think the lawyer from my team that did that, Marilyn Height Ross, did an outstanding job of exploiting that.
Kim Gordon and I were just talking off the air. She's in our newsroom right now, Kim. We were talking about the sentencing now, right?
Right, and we just are curious if you what's a fair sentence? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, I haven't made a decision. My team and I will work on those issues between now and the sentencing date. But ultimately, sentencing is a decision for the judge to make. We'll make a recommendation.
And can you give me some guidelines? What sort of parameters are you thinking about?
Well, the Class X counts require a sentence to the Department of Corrections. Those are the aggravated battery charges. And the second-degree murder, while it's eligible for probation, could be between 4 and 20 years, and we'll make a recommendation somewhere in that range.
Would there be 4 to 20 years? Would there be...
Correct.
Is that just for the second-degree conviction, or does that include the aggravated battery charges?
It's just for the second-degree conviction.
Would they add on the aggravated battery convictions as well?
The judge could, and I think that will be an issue that will be contested at the sentencing hearing and the post-trial motions.
I appreciate the process you're going through. You can imagine our curiosity, though. Would you be satisfied if it was as few as 4 years, Joe?
That's sentencing is a judicial decision, and this judge will consider all of the factors that he should, and I'll be satisfied with the outcome, whatever it is.
Anything else you'd like to pass along? It was, must-see television and must-listen-to radio. We all sure were caught up in it. It's such a sorry, sad chapter for the city of Chicago. What's the postscript from you on this story?
It is that there are no winners in this case. Laquan McDonald's family suffers greatly. His mother, Tina, continues to experience this pain and relive this tragedy daily. And the Van Dyke family is suffering greatly as well. No winners in this case. And it's unfortunate to see a police officer, although it's right that he was convicted, it's unfortunate to see someone who we place our trust in and give authority to convicted for and in the line of duty shooting for murder.
Well, I'm glad that you put it that way because I feel that way too, and I feel bad for the Van Dyke family like that. I I think that 99,000 out of a 10,000, you know, every other day in his career, maybe he doesn't pull the trigger. That one day he made that one mistake. And I feel bad for his family and I feel bad for that man. But that's what happened, and there has to be some justice as a result.
That's exactly the way I feel.
It's nice to talk to you, sir. Joe McMahon, Kane County State's Attorney, thanks for your time. Thanks to your staff for what was a great deal of service. We appreciate you joining us, sir.
Yeah, great team. Thanks for having us.
How about that? That's Joe McMahon over at Kane County.